Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss TRAX Holdings results for the third quarter of fiscal 2019 for the period ended June 30th, 2019. On the call today, we have TRAX Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Tim Harvey and Chief Financial Officer Gene McConnell. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session for analysts only. Instructions will be provided at that time. I will now turn the call over to Gene McConnell. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm Gene McConnell, CFO of TRAX Holdings. Thank you for joining our third quarter of 2019 conference call for the period ended June 30, 2019. TRAX President and CEO Tim Harvey will begin the call by providing an overview of the quarter's results. I will then follow Tim to provide a more detailed around the financial results. After I finish, Tim will talk about our business strategy, outlook, and progress we've made towards the goals we've established for 2019. We will end the call with a question and answer session for analysts. Before we talk about results, I'd like to remind everyone that certain statements in this call may be forward-looking in nature. These include statements involving known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied in our forward-looking statements. For caveats about our forward-looking statements and risk factors, please see our MD&A for the year ended September 30, 2018, which will be found on our company profile in SEDAR. Now I'd like to pass the call over to Tim, our President and CEO.
Thank you, Gene. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you again for joining TRAX's third quarter fiscal year 2019 conference call. For those on the call unfamiliar with TRAX, we are based in Denver, Colorado, and are an enterprise asset management company deploying SaaS or software as a service-based solutions to large enterprises for the comprehensive tracking and management of physical assets, labor, and related business processes. Our core solution platform is called GAME, or Global Asset Management for Enterprises. GAME is pretty unique in fact that in allowing enterprise customers to manage all of their operationally critical assets across multiple locations and across multiple business workflows, all on a single platform. While we're not a hardware company per se, we do offer support for all widely accepted auto ID technologies, such as RFID, cellular, GPS, Bluetooth, low energy tags, as well as support for a rapidly emerging world of IoT sensors that work collectively to provide real-time information on the state, condition, location, and ownership of assets and inventory within an enterprise or throughout the supply chain. Our financial model is driven largely by recurring revenues derived from our SaaS licensing model. It's a core metric for the company and one which we saw grow year over year and quarter over quarter in Q3, and I'll add a little bit more detail about that in a moment. Our GAME platform is a very flexible solution that meets the needs of numerous vertical and horizontal markets. It serves the need of our currently targeted industries by offering support for yard management, returnable asset tracking, and high-value asset tracking. A high degree of configurability within the platform not only allows us to track any type of asset within an industry, but allows us to easily leverage the platform and support new industries without significant modification. Moving on to our financial performance, the quarter's results fell below our expectations. Total revenue for the third quarter of fiscal 2019 was $1.4 million versus $2.1 million in the third quarter of fiscal 2018, and $1.7 million in the second quarter of fiscal 2019. In the same quarter last year, however, we recognized a significant non-recurring software license fee. We are now only offering SaaS-based subscription-based licensing to our customers. While there are delays in the closing of new opportunities in Q3, I want to make sure that folks on the phone understand that none of these opportunities have gone away, and we have, in fact, made much progress in moving them through the sales process. As a result, we are fully expecting to bring these deals to closure and realize revenue from them over the months ahead. As I mentioned before, our financial model is driven by recurring revenue, again, a key metric for the company. Recurring revenue for our third fiscal quarter of 2019 increased 37% year over year to $761,000 versus $556,000 in the year ago quarter. The third quarter's recurring revenue also increased 14% from second quarter fiscal 2019. The company's focus continues to be on growing our high-margin recurring revenue. That increases revenue visibility in future years with without adding an appreciable cost of sales. To address liquidity risk, I just want to make sure that folks understand that we are in discussions with both lenders and strategic partners that have expressed interest recently in investing in TrackX. In the interim, a board member has extended a U.S. $300,000 loan to the company, which will bridge operations until we secure financing and allow us to continue to execute on the opportunities that are emerging. Although our total revenue declined, our pipeline has expanded pretty significantly. And from October 1st, 2016 to June 30th, 2019, 92% of our existing customers have in fact expanded their implementation of TrackX solutions across a combination of additional assets, asset classes, locations, and business processes. During the quarter, our delivery team was very busy. We completed two additional implementations at GE Appliance, bringing the total to 7 implementations to date, with 4 additional sites planned for calendar year 2019. We continue to expand our implementation at the world's second largest processor and marketer of beef, pork, and poultry. 3 additional locations were implemented during Q3 2019, for now a total of 16 locations. Another 3 locations are planned to be completed prior to the end of fiscal 2019. Discussions are also currently underway with other divisions of this large customer to expand the scope of game to incorporate other assets and locations. In addition, a major U.S. baked goods manufacturer expanded to their second location and has committed to expand to a 3rd location prior to the end of this fiscal year. The Port of Oakland renewed their license to the game platform for an additional 3 years, and our partner, Zdevco, is introducing TrackX into other port opportunities. And for Carvana, one of the fastest growing online used car retailers in the business, TrackX has continued to support their aggressive expansion. We've not only continued to enhance our vehicle inventory and processing the capabilities for this customer, but we also completed a significant nationwide update to our new Game for Automotive solution for them. On the partner side, we have discussed the progress that's been made in the development of our partner ecosystem. Joint sales and marketing efforts with Barcodes and Pinge, OmniID, HID Global, and Barcoding have all resulted in some very significant pipeline activity. These partners have incumbent relationships with some very large companies that are seeking enterprise asset management solutions, and as a result, we anticipate to close on more partner-related opportunities in the upcoming months. One of the more interesting new partnerships we have announced is with Amazon Web Services. Over the quarter, we strengthen our relationship with them and their Amazon-managed blockchain product group. While we're not proponents of cryptocurrencies regarding blockchain, the secure, permissionable, auditable ledger capabilities that blockchain delivers represent a tremendous solution as integrated with GAME to further drive visibility, authentication, and accountability throughout complex supply chains. Over the months ahead, we expect to share much more news about this emerging partnership and the value it represents to the company with the market. We've also continued to remain focused on operating efficiency. Over the past 2 quarters, we have taken steps to reduce our labor expenses by more than $128,000 per month. We have implemented new processes to ensure profitability not only by customer, but by project. As we continue to grow, adherence to these metrics and these established processes will become increasingly more important and drive additional value to TrackX. From a product development perspective, much has been done. The company has developed capabilities within GAME for the delivery of blockchain and distributed ledger solutions to support this new partner. We've initially focused this effort on the returnable and rental industries, which will allow our customers to collaborate more effectively with their supply chain partners. The company also invested in the configuration of its GAME platform to address an emerging need and opportunity within the cannabis industry for a proven, commercially viable supply chain platform able to comply with the state mandates dictating the use of RFID to authenticate and track the cultivation, processing, secure transport, point of sale, and regulatory reporting associated with this emerging industry. The configurability of GAME to support multiple business processes combined with the platform's hardware-agnostic IoT infrastructure management capability and existing supply chain heritage has positioned TrackX very well to respond to the industry requirements. TrackX has received multiple inquiries on the availability of its GAME for cannabis solution from industry participants and is currently evaluating how to best make this solution available to the market. So before passing the call to Gene for a detailed review of the financial results, I would like to say that we understand that the third quarter fell short of expectations. But I also want to say that a pipeline is very strong. I'll provide a lot more detail regarding that particular opportunity following Gene's financial commentary. I'll now pass the call over to Gene. Gene?
Thank you, Tim. Unless otherwise stated, all dollar amounts are in Canadian dollars. As Tim has mentioned, the total revenue for the third quarter, 2019, was $1.4 million. It was down 35% year-over-year from the $2.1 million we reported in Q3 of fiscal 2018. The year-over-year revenue decrease was due in large part to a non-recurring software license revenue decreasing from $259,000 for Q3 2018 to only $600 Q3 2019. I'd like to reiterate that our revenue model is based on scaling recurring revenues, which increased 37% to $762,000 versus $556,000 in the third quarter of fiscal 2018. Recurring revenues also increased 14% over the $669,000 we reported at the end of Q2 2019. Recurring revenue increase was due to existing customers expanding installed game deployments. In keeping with the company's core strategy, recurring revenue has continued to increase quarter over quarter since our inception. In terms of the revenue mix for the third quarter, non-recurring software license revenue for 2019 was $600 compared to $259,000 for 2018. Hardware revenue was $250,000 in 2019 compared to $465,000 in 2018. Other implementation revenue was $356,000 for 2019 compared to $786,000 for 2018. The customization, integration fees, setup, implementation, and other fees were 26% of the 2019 revenue as compared to 37% of the revenue of 2018. The revenue mix for Q3 2019 drove a decrease in the cost of sales from $923,000 for 2018 to $843,000 in this current quarter. The gross margin for Q3 2019 was 39% compared to 57% year ago quarter and 42% in the prior quarter of 2019. The decrease in gross margin was largely due to the low non-recurring software licensing revenue reported in Q3 2019. The non-recurring software licensing revenue is a high margin revenue. Operating expenses for Q3 2019 and Q3 2018 were $1.8 million and $1.5 million respectively. The $363,000 increase was largely due to a $71,000 increase in G&A expenses, $158,000 increase in sales and marketing, and $108,000 increase in finance charges. This increase was offset by a $51,000 decrease in product enhancement and development expenses. At the close of the quarter, with a $1.3 million net loss, $0.02 per share, compared to a $251,000 net loss, or 0 cents per share, in the quarter a year ago. The increase in net loss for the Q3 2019 was due to a high percentage of non-recurring, high-margin software license revenue, 12% of total revenue, recognized in Q3 of 2018. Compared to less than 1% of non-recurring software license revenue recognized as a total revenue in Q3 2019. The company's focus is still growing its software as a service or SaaS recurring revenue in 2019 and beyond. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter was a loss of $768,000. Versus a $71,000 gain in the third quarter of fiscal 2018. The adjusted EBITDA is a non-IFRS measure, and I encourage investors to refer to our MD&A posted on SEDAR for the calculation of this non-IFRS measure. TrackX exited the quarter with approximately $548,000 in cash and cash equivalents, the same amount that was disclosed at the end of the second quarter of fiscal 2019. As of June 30, 2019, TrackX only had drawn down $2.6 million of the $5.2 million debt facility that we announced in August of 2018. Net cash used in activities for year-to-date 2019 period was $1.8 million, compared with the cash used year-to-date of $948,000 in the same period in 2018. This concludes my comments on the TrackX third quarter fiscal 2019 financial results. I'd like to now pass the call back to Tim.
Thank you, Gene. So as I previously discussed in my opening comments, TrackX has remained focused on the continued execution of our core strategies. The company's land and expand strategy saw a solution footprint expand both in terms of capabilities and number of locations. For many customers, including Carvana, GE Appliance, the Port of Oakland, a large baked good manufacturer, and the world's second largest processor of beef, pork, and poultry. With expansion opportunities occurring as anticipated, the company's on target to more than double the total number of implementations in fiscal 2019 over fiscal 2018. So we have been busy. With respect to our sales pipeline and the revenue opportunity it represents, we are laser-like focused on getting these new deals over the goal line. Our former head of sales has departed the company and we will be hiring to fill that role. In the meantime, the management team has been much more involved in sales-related activities in closing these significant deals. We recently announced a new opportunity with Polaris, a global leader in the power sports industry. Within that opportunity, we will be leveraging GPS tags to track the research and development vehicles initially, and are already in discussions with them regarding other applications for the expansion of our game platform within their enterprise. We are really targeting the largest of companies within their respective industries. Within our sales pipeline, we now have more than 200 potential opportunities, so it has grown. 12 of these significant accounts have seen progress through the sales process and sales pipeline in Q3. The top four of these accounts collectively possess more than $700 billion in annual revenue and represent very large opportunities for TrackX into the future. As a general rule of thumb, TrackX is now prioritizing opportunities that represent a potential of more than $1 million a year in recurring SaaS revenue. So the pipeline is quite strong. On the partner side, we have discussed the progress that has been made with Barcodes and Pinge, OmniID, HID Global, Barcoding, and joint sales and marketing efforts, which have resulted in some very significant new pipeline activity. The hardware partners are really interested in selling hardware and implementation services. TrackX is interested in growing revenue through the delivery of our SaaS-based solutions that leverage this hardware to drive value. As these partners realize that our solutions are complementary and not competitive, we will continue to see more and more opportunities driven by the partner network. They have incumbent relationships with some very large companies that are seeking enterprise asset management solutions. The partner network is delivering value now, and we certainly anticipate the close of more partner-related opportunities in the future, resulting in additional recurring revenue for TrackX. So in closing, I'd like to express my thanks to the team at TrackX, my thanks to our customers for their continued support and expansion opportunities, thanks to partners for their diligent efforts in continuing to leverage the partner ecosystem, and to our shareholders, obviously, for supporting the company's vision. I'd now like to hand it over to the operator to open the call for questions.
And at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You can remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, to ask a question, that is the star and one. We'll go ahead and take a question from Daniel Rosenberg. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Tim and Gene. I just had a question about the sales being pushed back to next quarter. Were there any key events that you could explain why that is, and what does that mean for next quarter's growth outlook?
No, I think the major event is that these companies are really large companies, Dan, and I think that in our particular case, we anticipated the closings to be much sooner, given the enthusiasm given by the folks that we were talking to within these customer accounts. In some cases, the process to actually get to a decision is a little bit more significant, specifically with the larger enterprise opportunities. So there is numerous of them. They've all moved forward. I think that you'll see some deals that will be imminent within within the upcoming months. You'll see news on that, including Polaris, which we just announced, obviously, another big enterprise opportunity. And so I think that's one thing. The second thing has really been, I think we underestimated some of the folks that needed to be involved in making a decision. In a lot of these cases, we had to bring IT in and convince IT. We almost had to sell twice into an account, one with the business, with the operating group, and one with their IT organizations. I think we're navigating our way through that much more effectively than we had before, and we're making progress there. And then lastly, I'll tell you, losing our head of sales and reintroducing or having to get reengaged as a management team in the sales activity meant we took a step back so we could make many, many steps forward, and that took a little bit of time. We're disappointed that we haven't closed those deals, but again, as I mentioned in my comments, none of those deals have gone away, Daniel. They've just been pushed a little bit. So I do expect that we will be able to accelerate some of the growth moving forward because those deals are all moving ahead.
Okay, and I think I missed this number. I just didn't catch it in your opening statement. But just the amount of the license revenue that fell in the quarter last year?
It was almost $300,000. It was $279,000, I believe, in last year.
And then the gross margins at 39% this quarter, do you have a comparable to, like, would it have been higher or lower or roughly the same if we exclude that license revenue from last year?
It would have been a little bit higher, but not much. I think we're still making some of the cost adjustments in Q3 or some of the operating expense reductions in Q3 over last year, but that revenue that came in as non-recurring software license last year was pretty much 100% margin, so it had a significant impact on our gross margin calculations last year to this year. And again, we're no longer offering non-recurring software licensing as an option in initial discussions with the customer. It is nice that we can support that in order to get a government deal, or some industries and some companies simply don't like SaaS-based solutions. We can still offer it, we can still support it if it's mandated by the customer, but we're not offering it in our pricing at this point, Daniel. We're only offering recurring SaaS.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense for the long-term business economics. So understood there. In terms of doubling the amount of deployments in 19 compared to 18, so we're Q3 most of the year is done. I was wondering in terms of dollar amounts with the amount with where we're at in the year, are you trending ahead of schedule, behind schedule, roughly on track in terms of that kind of dollar expectations that go with the deployments doubling from last year?
Well, this is Gene. We're certainly ahead of last year on the expansion and the revenue from that. But I think we're pretty much on plan for what we've expected for our existing clients. We've continued to get our implementation crew up and running a little quicker, and we've got the customers kind of more in a lockstep of saying, okay, we can get this one done, and they can plan ahead with their resources, so we have a better schedule than it had last year.
Yeah, I think, and to add on to that, to add on to Gene's comments, Daniel, the ability, the scale of the delivery organization and the scale of implementation services through partners has grown significantly. We focused a lot of time on that, as I've mentioned in prior quarterly conference calls. So we have done an extremely good job of managing our ability to respond to implementation activity and thus the I think the ability for us to support the expansion requests of our customers in a much more effective way than where we were, you know, a year ago, I'd say, right?
Okay, great. And in terms of those partnerships, the opportunities that are filling up the pipeline, do you see a shift in the size of opportunity? I know the goal is always to get, you know, bigger clients, obviously, but do you see anything material in the pipeline coming from these partners?
We do. We do. All of these partners have given us opportunities over the last two quarters, to be candid. Some of the larger accounts that I mentioned were in fact originated by our partners, and our partners do have incumbent relationships within these accounts. So these are requests that have been discussed with between these accounts and our partners prior to them coming to TrackX, so they're highly qualified opportunities.
Okay, great. That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Danny.
And again, if you are an analyst on the call, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone if you would like to ask a question. And we can pause for another moment to allow questions to queue up. And it doesn't look like we have any further questions on the phone line at this time.
Okay, well, then I would like to thank everybody for participating on the TrackX Q3 2019 call, and look forward to updating you on the progress that we'll be making here over the upcoming weeks, months ahead, and look forward to speaking with you in next quarter. Bye-bye.